You'll find that on page 672 in the Pew Bible if you're using that. To hear the word of the Lord. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Now let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 23. You'll find that on page 692 in the Pew Bible. We'll start reading at verse 15 and go to verse 28. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart too will be glad. My inmost being will exult when your lips speak what is right. Let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all the day. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Hear, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. Be not among drunkards, or among gluttonous eaters of meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and slumber will clothe them with rags. Listen to your father, who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth, and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways. For a prostitute is a deep pit, an adulteress is a narrow well. She lies in wait like a robber, and increases the traitors among mankind. Thus ends the reading of God's word. Now let's go to him in prayer. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do thank you for another opportunity to come before you in your presence and to hear from your word. We pray as your word is read and explained this morning that your Holy Spirit would search our hearts and minds and bring to light those areas that we need to bring before you in repentance. We pray that you would strengthen the faith of your people this morning and conform us more and more to the image of Christ. I ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of my favorite movies over the years was the Horatio Hornblower series. I don't know if any of you have seen that yet. But it's about a young officer in the British Navy during the 17th century. And the lessons that he... the 19th century. And the lessons that he learned as he worked his way up through the ranks to eventually become a captain of his own ship. And he had to learn many different skills simultaneously to succeed. He had to learn how to manage a ship in stormy seas and in battles. At the same time, he learned how to manage and care for a stormy crew within that ship. He learned the needs and the capabilities and the dangers within and without that ship and the crew, and what he should do in every situation at sea. And he learned these lessons not only by experience, but from the instruction and training of his own captain, who served as a wise mentor to him. And that picture of learning to be a good sea captain fits well with what Solomon is teaching us here about learning to keep your heart with all vigilance. And part of learning wisdom as a Christian is learning how your heart works so that you can manage the dangers from both inside and outside your heart, and those combined dangers that could shipwreck your life. So we're going to look at two main points today from our passage. The first one is learning to navigate the dangers within your heart. And then secondly, learning to navigate the dangers outside your heart. All right, so learning to navigate the dangers within your heart, and then learning to navigate the dangers outside your heart. And my hope for you today is that you will learn better how to wisely navigate your own dangerous heart through the dangerous seas of life while you strive to fear and honor the Lord. So let's look at our first point now, and that's you must learn to navigate the dangers within your heart. A part of learning the skill of making godly decisions in life is learning how dangerous your own heart is. The heart is the innermost part of your being. It's the core of who you are as an individual. The heart is the center of your personality and the source of all the desires that move and shape the way you think and act and react. So we see in Proverbs 4:23, it says to keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. All your thoughts, your words, your actions are all controlled and driven by your heart. And especially by what your heart worships. The desires and thoughts of your heart organize themselves around what you love or fear most at that moment. And that love produces what you say or think or do. Your actions are what flow from your heart in the moment of choice. But notice again in verse 23, it says to keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Now keep your heart with all vigilance. This is military language. To keep means to guard or protect. And vigilance means that you are always alert and watchful. The heart is the powerhouse of your life, like the crew of a ship. But the problem with your heart is that it is not like a crew of good and devoted and well-trained sailors, but more like a rowdy and unruly crew of pirates. Your heart is prone to laziness in your duties and mutiny against the law of God. You have a sinful heart, a corrupt heart. Jesus said in Matthew 15, he says, "But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander." Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" We saw this earlier in James as well. James 1:14, he says, "But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." And that is the state of your heart by nature. You are born this way, as a fallen creature. We see this elsewhere in Proverbs. In Proverbs 22:15, it says, "Folly or foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child." Now this is what your heart is like, and why you need to keep it with all vigilance. I'm sure some of you have driven a car where the steering is out of alignment, right? And what happens when you take your hand off the wheel? Right, you drift off right the side of the road. And the car pulls to the side. You have to pay attention and keep your hands on the wheel so you don't drift off the road. And in the case of our hearts, the alignment is so severely out of place that we must pay constant attention to it to keep you heading in the right direction of love and obedience to the Lord. He went on in Proverbs 4 to describe what this vigilance looks like. In verse 24, he says, "Put away from you crooked speech and devious talk far from you." You have to control what you say and put away any words or attitudes which don't measure up to the law of God. Then he moved on from the mouth to the eyes. He says in verse 25, "Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you." And perhaps you've noticed when you drive, if you turn your head and look in a different direction, or you start drifting in that direction. Now you have to keep your eyes forward so you don't get in a wreck. And that's what happens when you don't keep your eyes focused on the law of God. Then he went on from the mouth and the eyes to the feet. He says in verse 26, "Ponder the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil." Notice he says here to ponder the path of your feet. Think about where you are heading. Think about the decision you must make. How many times have you made the wrong decision simply because you didn't think before you acted? And there is no autopilot in the Christian life. If you let go of the wheel of your heart, you will drift into danger. That is how unruly and disordered the heart is. You have to ponder and think about your direction and examine the desires and thoughts of your heart to consciously keep your mouth straight and your eyes forward and your feet from swerving off course. So you must keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. But how do we know what the right course is? How do we recognize a disordered heart? And even more, where do we get the power to change and restrain the evil desires of the heart? How do we know what direction we are heading and fighting so hard to keep? Well, Solomon explained that just before in verse 20. He says, "My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh." And here the parental voice of Solomon communicates the word of God to the heart. The word of God brings light and life to a disordered and unruly heart. It's through the word of God that we recognize whether a desire or a thought of the heart is sinful or good. The word of God helps us sift through our motives and recognize those desires which would lead us to make corrupt speech or actions. But even more, the word of God heals the corrupt heart. Notice he says in verse 22, "For they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh." There is a life-giving power to God's word, a power to convert and change the soul. It's like slowly replacing a crew of pirates, one by one, with a crew of loyal sailors on the ship over time. That's the power of God's word at work in the heart. As a Christian, not only does God forgive your sins and salvation, but He gives you the power to steer your heart back onto the right course, and the power to remain vigilant. And if God's word has that effect on your hearts, what should your attitude be toward it? Well, notice the language again that he used here. He says, "Be attentive to my words. Incline your ear. Let them not escape. Keep them within your heart." And notice, not only are you receptive to the word, but you lock that word into your heart. You want that constant light to expose the dangerous desires of your heart, and you want the word of God to bring that constant work of change and healing to your heart. James, earlier, described the same attitude toward the word. We read it in chapter 1 this morning. He says in verse 19, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." And he's teaching the same idea we find here in Proverbs. So you must learn to navigate the dangers within your heart. Your heart is the fountain of all your choices, your thoughts, your words, your actions, and the only way you will be able to navigate your heart in such a way that it produces obedience and wise choices is to keep your heart with all vigilance. You must constantly receive and keep the word of God and lock it into your heart to help you see and change those evil desires and keep the mutiny from rising up within again. And then constantly think about and pay attention to the course of your actions. That brings us then to our next point. Not only must you learn to navigate the dangers within your heart, but you must learn to navigate the dangers outside your heart. Let's look at chapter 23 in Proverbs. And notice there he built on the same idea we saw in chapter 4, the need to keep your heart. But this time he shifted the focus to setting your heart upon spiritually dangerous people. He opened with this command in verse 17. He says, "Let not your heart envy sinners." To envy means that you want what they have, or you want to be like them in some way. Sinners are those who live without any real concern for the Lord or any desire to obey His commands. So he says, don't look up to them or desire to be like those kind of people. And he provided three examples of this spiritual danger. First, he mentioned the drunkards and gluttons. Notice in verse 20. He says, "Be not among drunkards or among gluttonous eaters of meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and slumber will clothe them with rags." And the drunkard is someone who gets drunk or intoxicated. And the glutton is someone who overindulges in the pleasures of food. And both of these are good illustrations of sin in general. When you are intoxicated, it feels good for the moment. But then you get sleepy and pass out and wake up with a hangover. And the more you drink over time, the more it takes to get intoxicated and to feel good again. And you spend your life, if you spend your life in that kind of lifestyle, you will end up in poverty and rags. And that's not just true physically, but in every dimension of your life. You spend whatever effort or money you have on getting the next high, and eventually you won't be able to work because you have destroyed your body through the excessive substance abuse, addiction. But even more, you'll end up with the poverty of the soul. How can you nurture the higher aspirations of life if you are drunk and sleepy all the time? How can you build any meaningful relationships or develop your talents or grow in wisdom if you devote yourself and devote all your energy to clouding your mind with alcohol or drugs? Like the drunkard and the glutton may look like they are having a great time for the moment, but eventually it comes to a tragic and bitter end. So those are the first two dangers to navigate around, the drunkard and the glutton. But the next danger is the unfaithful woman. Notice in verse 27, he says, "For a prostitute is a deep pit, an adulteress is a narrow well. She lies in wait like a robber and increases the traitors among mankind." So the appeal of this danger is the immediate gratification of sexual pleasure without commitment or obligation. And pornography fits into this danger as well. These things may bring pleasure for a moment, but what happens in the end? Well, like the drunkard and glutton, you come to poverty. The unfaithful woman robs you of the investment and energy that you should have saved up for your wife or your other responsibilities in life. She also robs you of your respectability. Notice it says that she increases the traitors among mankind. By going to her, you betray your marriage covenant or your future marriage covenant, and you face the same dilemma of the drunkard. You need more and more pleasure to give you the same thrill as before. And you become more committed to seeking that pleasure than to keeping all your other commitments. And people can no longer trust you to keep your word. And you slide down and get stuck into the deep pit or the narrow well. And notice the common thread in all these dangers. Right? These sinners appeal to legitimate pleasures and desires in life, but they call you to overindulge in them, to seek to satisfy them outside the boundaries of God's Word. They take these good desires and turn them into ultimate desires. So it isn't just alcohol or food or sex that you can do this with. You can do this with any legitimate pleasure in life. You love these things and desire these pleasures more than God Himself. You don't keep your heart with vigilance, but you let your sinful desires rule you, and out flows the spring of your heart toward these dangers, and it eventually destroys you. It may seem like smooth sailing for a while, but eventually you will run aground on the rocks and shipwreck your life through the consequences of your sin. And in the end, if God does not intervene with mercy, you face the wrath of God forever, because you have worshipped these things rather than the God who made you. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, he says, "Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Now, that is the danger you are sailing into when you don't watch over those, don't navigate those dangers correctly. So what must you do to navigate these dangers outside your heart? Well, the first thing you must do is fear the Lord. Notice, again, chapter 23, verse 17, he says, "Let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all the day. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Hear, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way." Not the only safe way to avoid a shipwrecked life is found in fearing the Lord and directing your heart in His way. To fear the Lord is the opposite of envying sinners. When you envy sinners, you look at them as possessing what you want or need. But in fearing God, you look to God as possessing what you really need. Envying sinners means that you stand in awe of them. You admire them. You adore them, or at least what they have. They become the standard by which you measure yourself and the meaning of life. But in fearing the Lord, you stand in awe of the Lord and admire and revere His greatness and beauty. You long to know Him and appreciate what He offers you, not only now, but in eternity. To fear the Lord means that you worship Him and honor Him as high and holy. You acknowledge Him as the Creator and Lord who deserves your complete allegiance. And to fear the Lord means that you have entered into a right relationship with God as your Redeemer. And only in that relationship will you find out what your purpose in life is and fulfill it. So in order to navigate the dangers outside your heart, you must fear the Lord. But secondly, you must invest in His truth. Notice in verse 22, it says, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth and do not sell it. By wisdom, instruction, and understanding." And rather than spending your money and time indulging yourself in food and drink and sexual pleasure, you must invest yourself in learning and retaining the truth of God's Word. Now, this is a permanent investment that will never that you never let go. You constantly seek to store up more understanding from the Word. Not only do you need God's Word to teach you about the dangers within your heart, but you need His Word to teach you how to navigate the dangers outside. It's like a great sea chart, warning you about the rocks and the shallows that can ruin you. And related to that idea is that we need to keep an eternal perspective on these dangers. We need to keep an eternal perspective on these dangers, no matter how appealing they look at first. Listen again to verse 17. He says, "Let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all the day. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off." Not the only way to an eternal future is through knowing and fearing the Lord. In all the other ways, in following the ways of sinners, your hope is eventually cut off. There is no lasting future down those roads. They will only leave you empty and poor, in bondage and rags, and ultimately in condemnation and death forever. And so you must keep an eternal perspective on these dangers to your heart, no matter how appealing or enticing they may seem in the moment. But another motivation to help you avoid these dangers is the promise of wholesome praise. Okay, the promise of wholesome praise. Notice again in verse 24. He says, "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice." Or we see it again in verse 15. He says, "My son, if your heart is wise, my heart too will be glad." And one of the motivations here is the wholesome praise of wise parents. I'm sure many of you have felt that drive in your own heart. I know many of the things I've done in life, especially in my younger days, I did because I wanted to please my dad. I want to hear him say, well done. But even the best earthly parents are only an imperfect picture of our Heavenly Father. And the praise we receive from them is only an echo of the full praise and delight that the Heavenly Father will lavish upon us at the final day as we learn wisdom. As you strive to keep your heart with all vigilance and study His Word to navigate the dangers, you have the great assurance that your Heavenly Father will rejoice over you. And at the end, He will say to you, well done. And that desire of the Father's praise and smile should overshadow and crowd out the faint and fading praise that sinners might give us for following them into danger. And how could we enjoy such promises of praise and assurance from God when we are so unworthy and we have already failed to keep our hearts as we should? Well, notice again in verse 22, he says, listen to your Father who gave you life. And we can have this assurance from the Heavenly Father's of the Heavenly Father's praise because He sent us His only Son, the perfect Son, the wisest Son, the most beloved Son. God sent His Son to die in our place on the cross so that He could give us this new life, a new life that our earthly fathers could never give us. Christ navigated the perfect course to the Father without any deviation and took upon Himself the punishment and the judgment we deserved so that we could know God as a gracious Father again. He died the death of foolish sinners so that sinners could be made righteous and wise. He plunged Himself into the deep pit of wrath and took upon Himself the poverty and rags of our sin, so that we as drunkards and gluttons and prostitutes could enjoy redemption and eternal life with God forever. And ultimately, it is that redeeming love of the Lord which moves you to keep your heart with all vigilance. You're not trying just to navigate the dangers within your heart and outside your heart, but you are keeping your eyes straight forward, longing to reach the Father who gave His best to redeem you, and to the Son who gave Himself for you. So we've seen today that in order to learn wisdom, we need to understand how our heart works so we can learn to navigate the dangers within your heart and the dangers outside your heart. And so let that love and grace of the Father move you to grow in wisdom and to give your heart to the Father who has given so much for you. And keep your heart with all vigilance because you love Him and because He first loved you. Let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the marvelous way in which You have showered Your grace upon us. We had not kept our hearts. We had gone astray in our sinful ways over and over again. Many of us shipwrecked our lives in so many different ways, and yet You have come to show us mercy, to set us on the right way again. We thank You for that. We know You could have left us to ourselves to receive the judgment we deserve. We thank You that You are a God of mercy, a God who can teach us wisdom again. So we pray that You would help us to learn these things, to appreciate all that You have done for us, and to help us to keep our heart with all vigilance as we pursue a wise life with You. We ask for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.